Tess Zion Eor, Friday the 26th of April, Rabbi Emmanuel Bernstein, counting Omer from barley to wheat in 49 days.
Bonjour, Bosai. It's wonderful to be with you in this Mokum Torah and share a few words of Torah. We're in the days of the Omer, and of course, out of the 24 hours, it doesn't take that long to count the Omer. That leaves most of the rest of the day to ponder what the Omer is about. And there is a Midrash, it's a Midrash Rabbah in Pashas Emor, quoted in the Yalkut, in Pashas Lech Lecha. Le'olam al yehi korban ha'omer kal be'inecha. Be careful never to take the Korban Omer lightly. I'm not sure that we were going to, but now we certainly won't. Perhaps because it's a bit of barley. Shebeschus Korban Omer zocha Avram v'yorash es ha'aretz. It was in the merit of the Korban Omer that Avram Avinu and after him his descendants were zocha to merit Eretz Yisrael. That's quite a thing to say. If we would phrase things carefully, it seems that Korban HaOmer is no longer, quote-unquote, just another mitzvah. But somehow it's the key to living in Eretz Yisrael. And we need to try and find out why that is. It's also interesting to note that the name for this Korban, which we're so familiar with, and sometimes the things that we're familiar with, we've stopped questioning. The Korban HaOmer. It's not a very expressive name. It doesn't seem to tell you that much about the Korban at all. Other Korbanos characterize what they're coming for. A Chatas will be about Chet. And an Ola will be Ola Lekavoa. And a Shlomo will be Mavr Shalom. So when you meet a Korban, and the only thing that you can say about the Korban is how much of it there is, it sounds like there isn't really that much else to say. So if someone asks, why are we bringing this Korban? What's it all about? And the answer is, well, there's an Omer of it. It sounds like we haven't really addressed the question yet. But of course, this is something that accompanies us through the Omer. We count the Omer, and we say that today are 31 days of the Omer. I think I'm safe, mid-morning, we can say. And in a sense, it doesn't seem to be the mahus of the Korban, but really just the measure. But it, if you understand what I'm saying, it doesn't seem to give us the measure of the Korban. Moreover, we should know that it's an open secret, if you're wondering, how much is an Omer? Well, it's a tenth of an ephah. Now, this is not the only time in the Torah that we bring a Korban which is a tenth of an ephah. It happens the whole time. If you've been listening during Maftir, you can't miss it. Asir so ephah, Asir so ephah, Yisaron, Yisaron. Every time the Torah tells you to bring a Korban that's a tenth of an ephah, it says bring a Korban that's a tenth of an ephah. And here, the Torah says bring a Korban that's a tenth of an ephah and says bring an Omer. And we certainly need to ask, Ma nishtana ha-korban hazeh? It's the same amount as all of the other Asirios ha-eifa, and it has a special name, it's like a yontav name, called an Omer. Which is a good shaila. The Be'er Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Salant, gives us a bit of insight into what the Omer is about. It's about the transition from Eretz Yisrael, pardon me, from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, which, as we know, is no simple thing. Life in the Midbar is fundamentally different in almost every way from life in Eretz Yisrael, on the face of it. In the Midbar, we have the Man, and we have Moshe Rabbeinu, and we have the Anan HaKavod, and the Mishkan. No one is involved in anything other than Ruchnius. Enter Eretz Yisrael, Ishtachas Gefno, Ishtachas Teinoso, And there's a lot of physical work involved and a lot of physical living involved. Should we go in? Of course. Is it a simple matter to go in? Not at all. In fact, to Eretz Yisrael. This, according to the Sfas Emes, was part of the, at least, philosophical taina, which didn't necessarily come first, but was actually dragged after everything else. When the Meraglim came back, they said, Eretz Ocheles Yoshvehi, getting involved in the land will consume us, it will eat us alive. Now, the answer is not to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael. But we certainly appreciate that we need an orientation. We need to be ready to make it a successful venture. The only way life in Eretz Yisrael is a success is if Torah is lived there. And then it is a greater achievement. L'shem kach. To that end, we did not go in straight away. But rather the time in the Midbar is getting us ready. We need that time where all we have in front of us is Ruchnius. And the hope, and the goal, and the challenge is that when we enter Eretz Yisrael, we bring all of that in there with us. Now, that's easier said than done. Are there any tools that the Torah gives us in order to help us here? So let's go back to life in the Midbar. We mentioned that a tenth of an Eifah is always called exactly that, Asiris HaEifah. It's never called an Omer, with one exception. For 40 years, the Bnei Yisrael woke up in the morning and they found man outside. How outside? Well, that depends, but outside. And the Torah told us that each person received Omer Lagul Goles, Omer per person. So now we start from the other direction. How much is an Omer? Well, the Torah tells us, V'ha'omer asiris ha'efa hu. Now what's fascinating about that, I think, if we're sensitive to the parsha, which is, it's a long perek there, the falling of the man. Shmos perek tezayin. It's got about 40 psukim in it. And so much happens there, as we know. And it keeps on progressing more and more. The omer fell, no one knew what it was. Moshe told them, don't leave any over. Some people left over. Then came Friday, there was a Mishnah Lechem, and no one knew what that was about, and then came Shabbos, and there was nothing, and it kept on going, and certain people did everything wrong until they realized they shouldn't be doing that, and it develops further and further. One gets the feeling that it's building, in a sense, to a crescendo. Shmos Perek Tzayin. And then take it Tzimtzenes Achas of Man V'Sim B'Mishmeres. And then B'nei Yisrael Ochel Haman Arba'im Shana. And then the parak finishes with the high point. The ha'omer asiris ha'efahu. I think if we're attuned a little bit to the tone of the parak, it's an interesting way to finish. You could call it something of an anticlimax. The bottom line, the enduring message is an omer is a tenth of an efah. I wouldn't say that's the most meaningful part of the omer. Belaz, nowadays we would call those technical specifications. But that's the end of the parsha. Why? Why does the Torah finish the parsha of Man by saying, V'ha'omer asiris ha'efa? Says the Be'er Yosef, the reason why is because until now the Torah has called it an omer. From now on the Torah will be referring to asiris ha'efa. Always. But be alert. Because if you ever find the Torah referring yet again to an Omer, you know how much it is. But if it calls it an Omer, it's to bring you back to the Parsha of the Man. It's to link you back to the Yeridas HaMan. And the reason why is because the Korban HaOmer is a perpetuation of the experience of the Man, of the lesson of the Man. Because what did the Bnei Yisrael learn from the falling of the man? Their parnasa is bidei shamayim. That's not the be-all and end-all of their existence. It's important, but that's not what it's all about. Meitav kocho sehem are for higher things. And they learned that day in, day out. And the Medrash tells us, Lo nitna Torah ela le'ochlei aman. The Torah couldn't really be given unless you ate the man, because you can't divide your neshama into two. It's either in Torah or it's in other things. You've got to take care of everything. But the ikar is the Torah. When we come into Eretz Yisrael, the man stops falling. But the lesson of the man needs to continue. And the way that it does that is in the racious ketzirachim. For us, who aren't so involved in agriculture, the closest we get to agriculture is the supermarket, I think. But to experience the feeling of the racious kitzirchem, that is the culmination of a person's efforts. To take that and to bring it as a korban is a statement of awareness and recognition as to where it comes from. And that should set the tone for the rest of the year. Because if the tevua came in a shamayim, then what has to come from us is perhaps something else, something higher. And we should know further. There is a concept that is chozer v'nishneh. It is repeatedly and reiterated within the context of the Korban HaOmer, and that's the concept of tenufa. Now, the Omer is not the only thing that is waved, tenufa, waving, but it's mentioned four or five times. Vehi pasuk yud aleph, of perikav gimel, vehi nifa koenes HaOmer. Okay. Mimorchos HaShabbos, in the same pasuk, Yinifenu HaKohen. Two tenufos in one pasuk. Next pasuk, Vasisem B'yom HaNifchem Es HaOmer. That's three tenufos within a space of a few words. And moreover, as the psukim progress, we see that the Omer gets further and further bound up with tenufa, to the extent that in pasuk Tetzayin, it's called Omer HaTenufa. As if to say that is the defining characteristic of the Omer, the fact that you wave it, which it isn't, because so many other things happen. But somehow, this is highlighted, the tnufa, and we know from Chazal, take their cue from the Torah, that the day of the bringing of the Omer is called Yom Henef. Famous takon of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, She Yom Henef Kulo Osur. What's Yom Henef? The day of the bringing of the Omer. And why is it called Yom Henef? Because you wave the Omer. And the entire day is called the day of the waving. So why do we have this concentration of the concept of tenufa? And Be'er Yosef explains, tenufa is the opposite vector to Yiridas Haman. If Yiridas Haman is about food that begins in Shamayim and ends up on the ground, then the Omer is about taking something that started with the ground and raising it up to Shamayim. And that, in a sense, is what the Omer is all about. Because it's taking all of our parnasa and using it as a base and to try and to raise it higher. And moreover, we find something very interesting. The day of the bringing of the Omer is Machas HaShabbos, Tetzayin Nisan. So on the 16th of Nisan, Bnei Yisrael brought the Omer for the first time. Something else happened on the 16th of Nisan. They stopped eating man. The Medrash tells us that the man that fell at the end, it kept them going until they ate from Chodosh. They ate the man until Mimachras, what Yeshua calls Machras HaPesach, what the Torah calls Machras HaShabbos. And in a sense, it's fascinating that the eating of the man stopped exactly on the day of the bringing of the Omer. That, in a sense, is the kissing point of the man itself, the Omer of the man, and the Korban of the Omer, which from this point takes onwards. Takes control. And we go further. For as we know, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos, Samach Vav, and Chagiga Daf Yud Zayin, the Korban HaOmer, Mitzvirus HaOmer, is comprised of two branches. There's even a Machlokas Rishonim as to whether or not there are even two mitzvahs. Mitzvah LeMimni Yomei, or Mitzvah LeMimni Shavuot. As we know, it's a mitzvah to count the days and to count the weeks. Rabbi Yerucham says there are two mitzvahs of Taryag. Rambam writes at length to explain that they're really one mitzvah, two branches of the same mitzvah, but they're both there, and you need them both. Some poskim say you're not yotzei the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer at all if you didn't mention how many weeks there were, only the days. The Dover Zeomer Darsheni. Because, especially if you have 49 days, you will eventually work out just how many weeks you've counted, if you mention the days. And nonetheless, the Torah says, don't only keep a reckoning of the days, keep a reckoning of the weeks. Why? Says Be'er Yosef, if we understand that the goal of the Korban HaOmer, and by extension, and Sfiras HaOmer, which is a process of inculcating that message into our lives, ready to receive the Torah, is to remember the lesson of the man. So let us also remember that the lesson of the man came in two segments. There was the dailiness of the man, and then there was a further weekliness of the man. Every day the man fell. From a certain point of view, you could get used to that. I once heard someone wonder just how people reacted when they came into Eretz Yisrael and saw fruit growing out of the ground. If you didn't grow up that way, it's a modern azach. When you're in the midbar and you're making a bracha, motzi lechem min hashamayim, and all of a sudden someone says, I now change to hamotzi lechem min haaretz. We have enough trouble with saying talamata lebracha. And therefore, the man falls. Nise nisim. But lest the person think, well, that's the teva of life in the midbar. Go explain it. So to that, and the Torah says, no, it's not the teva. Man doesn't fall every day. There's a weekly cycle whereby on one day the man falls double, and another the man doesn't fall at all. In other words, don't get used to it. It's not that at all. And therefore, the lesson of hashgacha that comes in, and the man comes in firstly in daily doses, and then in weekly doses. And therefore, says Ber Yosef, we understand why as we count the Omer, we keep a count of the days and a count of the weeks in order to make sure that we have absorbed the full lesson of the man. And then we say, if indeed the Sfiras HaOmer and the Korban HaOmer is a zecher to the Omer level golus of the man, but then we also want to remember the weekly miracle, and the weekly miracle took the form of Shnei HaOmer level golus, right? Lechem Mishnah on Friday and nothing on Shabbos. So is there a zecher to the Lechem Mishnah? A zecher for the Omer we have in the Korban HaOmer. But what about the Lechem Mishnah? Do we have such a thing? It happens to be that we do. Because something happens on the day of the bringing of the Omer that never happens any other time. Vasisem, v'yamanivchem es ha-Omer, keves, and u'minchasa. What is the mincha that accompanies the keves, that accompanies the Omer? Shnei esronim solas. Now, if you remember from Daf Yomi and Menachos, you never have shnei esronim accompanying a keves. Shnei esronim accompanying the aisle. Keves is always accompanied by one Isorin. Isorin, Isorin, la Keves ha-Echad. This is the only place in the entire year that you have a Keves that's accompanied by, not one Isorin, but two Esronim, or in other words, Lechem Mishneh. And thus you have not only a representation of the Omer HaGolus of the daily Yerida, Yerida Saman, but also of the Lechem Mishneh in the Mincha that accompanies the Keves. The Ola Bedati Lomar, perhaps one may say that this may explain to us something else. Korban HaOmer is interesting, Sfiras HaOmer, not only that it has two sections to it, but those two sections are mentioned in different areas of Torah. The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer features twice, once in Parshas Emor and once in Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Emor, Tisbu Chamishim Yom, and in Parshas Re'eh, Shiva Shavuos, Tisporlach. Now we should know that when the Gemara says mitzvah lememni shavua, the makor for the mitzvah of counting weeks is in Re'eh. It is not sheva shabbosos tamimus. The Gemara Chagigan Daf Yud Zayin says mitzvah lememni yom sheneemar tisbur chamishim yom, mitzvah lememni shavua sheneemar shiva shavuos tisporloch. Not sheva shabbosos. Sheva shabbosos is yet the mitzvah of the days. So the mitzvah of days and weeks is divided between emor and Re'eh, v'halodavarhu. And more specifically, it's divided between Chumash Vayikra and Chumash Devarim. What way may we say here? But the Ramban tells us in his Hakdama to Chumash Devarim that when the Torah repeats certain mitzvahs that have already been mentioned earlier in the Torah, when it repeats them in Chumash Devarim, it is lahosif bahen biur, to add explanation, to add insight, to add understanding. And now, if we understand that the daily Yerida Aman was one thing, but then every week something else happened, and the reason why something else happened once a week, Lechem Mishnah on Friday and nothing on Shabbos, was in order that people should understand what happens when the man falls every day. It is not the Teva of the Midbar. It's not the Teva of the space in the Midbar. That means that they gained further insight into the daily falling of the man when you had this weekly glitch of twice as much on Friday and nothing on Shabbos. And therefore, the weekly falling of the man itself was lahosif bahen bior to the experience of the daily falling of the man. And therefore, the mitzvah of counting the weeks, which is keneged, the weekly nes, is in Chumash Devarim, lahosif bahen bior. Now, what's interesting about the man, and adkan from the Divrei HaBe'er Yosef, Badvar Me'irim, the Omer we know comes from barley, and whenever we meet barley, we instantly have an association of Machal Behema, like Korban Sota, and of course that's contrasted with the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, which is from Chita, from the Chometz. And in a sense, we have a movement. We begin with Seorah, Machal Behema, and move on to Chita, which is Machal Adam. And the notion, as I think it is commonly understood, is that we're looking to, we start humble, we start at the beginning, and work our way up to the top. So whereas we begin with very little, we begin with Machal Behema, but we're looking to get to Machal Adam. The reason why that's somewhat difficult is because when we count the Omer, it seems like we don't really want to let the Omer go. Because if Omer is the point that we're looking to get away from, because it's Seorah, so why do we keep on talking about it? For 49 days. Today is the 31st day of the Omer. What's the Omer? The Seorah. But I thought we're trying to forget about that. Maybe we should be counting down to the Chita, or at least mentioning it. Why do we lay more emphasis on what we're looking to move away from, and that is mahuti, integral, into the mitzvah, and we make no mention of what we're moving towards? And that's why Shlomo Fischer, Shlita of Yerushalayim, explains that that is not what's happening at all. When we begin with Seorah, that's because that's where you have to begin, and that's where you have to stay. You have to keep the Seorah with you. Because Machal Behema is the Maila of Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Chulin, Daf Hei, commenting on the Pasuk, Adam uvehema, Toshia Hashem, Eilu bnei Adam, Shemarumim bedas, umesimim atzmon kebehema. It's a reference, it's a Maila of people that are fully endowed with intellect, but mesimim atzmon kebehema. Because mesimim atzmon kebehema means, in a sense, the behema has a mila over the adam. Because once a person has their intellect, so in a sense they begin to make cheshbonos, and they begin to draw away, and judge, and calculate. A relationship that's based only on intellect is not a full relationship at all. The relationship of the behema, now he's lacking das, which one needs. But one should certainly strive to have that relationship, because it's a mashcheni acharecha relationship, with no kashas and no cheshbonos, and that's how the Bnei Yisrael needs to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we begin with Seorah, but we're not looking to move away from that, we're looking to build on top of it. And therefore, we count the days of the Omer as we are developing the Seorah relationship, the Machal Behema relationship, while we are adding on the element of Das. And this is a central concept really in Sefirah Seomer, because we see that the Medrash says that when the Pasuk says Sheva Shavos is Tamimus, and the Pashas of Tamimus is it's about the amount of time. And you start counting in the evening, but the Medrash says, Emasai him Tamimus, Bizman Shi Yisrael Osim Matona Shamakam. So you see that the Medrash tells us that Tamimus is not just about how much of the day you count, it's about the quality of the day. And it's about Bnei Yisrael being Tamimus, Osim Matona Shamakam. And that's why this Medrash is actually in the Parsha of Lech Lecha, it's in the Parsha of Bris Milah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Es halach lefana veheye tamim," that's where the Medrash says, "Le'olam al yeh korban ha'omer kal be'einecha," because the mitzvah of Mila is about "Es halach lefana veheye tamim," and so is the korban ha'omer. And interestingly, Bnei Yisrael in Sefer Yoshua, they had the Mila on the day that they brought the Omer. That's all in Yoshua Perek Hei, because it's about Tamimus. And all of this leads the Bnei Yisrael up to Naaseh V'Nishma. Naaseh V'Nishma is Seorah before Chita, because Nasa means we're not even asking what it's about. That means we have no das. But the answer is yes. Why is it yes? Because we're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a machal behema. That's mesimim atzmon ke behema. And I'm not sure that the Torah would have been given it under other circumstances. We see that so much emphasis is laid on the hakdama of Naaseh Tenishma. The hakdama of Naaseh Tenishma is the hakdama of Sa'ura, Techita. And therefore we hold on to the Omer, and we count the days of the Omer as we add Das to them. And we'll be messiahing with it with a Peledika thing. The Omer, as we said, is Machal Behema. Machal, it's Sa'orim. And we mentioned that there is one other korban that is also machal behema, that's like a seor, and that's the korban of the sota. And the Zohar Kodesh says that the korban om is like a korban sota. Why? Says the Zohar Kodesh, because just like the korban of the sota is metar isha labala, so the korban of the om is metar yisra lavim shabashamayim. Okay, so it's part of getting us closer. But then further, says the Zohar, the counting of the 7 weeks is keneged sfiras shiva simi ziva, which also is metaher isha labala. And thus do the korban and the counting come together. The minchas metaher isha labala, minchas sota, and the sfiras ziva is metaher isha labala. However, says the official, we have a problem. Both of those things are metaher isha labala, but not in the same way at all. The sphere of Ziva is taking someone who is Tomei and making her Tahor. She is Tomei originally. And the sphere allows her to become Tahor, the Shiva Nikia. The Korban of the Sota doesn't take someone who's Tomei and make her Tahor. It won't help unless she was always Tahora. So it's not a process to make her Tahor, it's a process that's Megala, that she was always Tahor. So actually, you can never really have the Korban Sota and the Sphira Zimea Ziva in the same place, because it's a contradiction. It's a stira. You're either Tomei, in which case you go the route of Shiva Nikiyim, or you're Tahor, in which case you go the route of Mincha Sota, but it can't be both. You can't be Tomei and Tahor at the same time. Says the Fisher, yes you can. Because the Pasuk says in Shira Shirim, Shechora Ani V'Na'ava. Says the Medrash, Shechora Mi Bachutz, V'nava mibifnim. That means that the essence of the Mayofa Yerushasenu, the definition of the Bnei Yisrael that they got from the Avos, is that on a fundamental level, they're always Tahori. They're always with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Outside, doesn't always look that way. Shechora mibachutz, v'nava mibifnim. And therefore, from a certain point of view, we understand that the Korban of the Sota and the Sphere of Sibi Ziva, they come together. Because on the outside, if Bnei Yisrael have been Tomei through Mitzrayim and the like, so they need to be Metaher that. But the way that they will be Metaher is through bringing in the Korban. That's how it begins, with the Korban Sota, which says, you're already Tahor. You just need to catch up on the outside with the way that you are on the inside. And that's an amazing statement about the Mahus of Bnei Yisrael. And it should certainly be for us, Chizuk, in the days of the Omer, as we count the days of the Omer, and we keep the Omer with us, and we're looking forward to heading towards the Shteya Lechem to attain maximum Das on top of the Machal Behema, and that is the winning combination of Naaseh V'Nishma.